This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Akhlaq class. Today, inshallah, we will discuss the Akhlaq of the Muslim in his community. Now, the circle is getting bigger and bigger. We started with the Akhlaq of the person himself, within himself, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his close family members, wife, children, relatives, parents. And now, after that, we discussed the neighbors. And last week, we talked about the akhlaq of the Muslim with his Muslim brothers. So today, inshallah, we'll continue with the bigger circle, which is the akhlaq of the Muslim in his community. We already discussed the akhlaq of the Muslim with his brothers. So what's the difference now between his brothers and in his community? Aren't the people in our community brothers? Interact with them on a regular basis. Yes, actually the akhlaq of the Muslim with his brothers, when we discussed it, mostly those who you know. Now, even if you don't know them, even if you don't have any interaction with them, still they have rights and obligations. So let's say that the last week we talked about the people that we know or we interact with them. Now, the people who we don't interact with them, even if that's the case, still they have rights. The first thing you need to remember that the Muslim in his community, by default, he should be social. And social, what do we mean by that? People feel comfortable when they look at him, when he looks at them. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith narrated by Ibn Majah rahimahullah and others, Al-Muslimu or Al-Mu'minu Ma'lafa. Ma'lafa means friendly person. The believer is a friendly person. And there is no good in the one whom people cannot take as friend, or he doesn't take friends. This is also reported by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah in the Musnad. And it is hadith hasan, it is accepted hadith. So in this hadith basically, the Prophet ﷺ is telling you that if you are not friendly, then you are not a true believer. But what do we mean by friendly? We mean by that people can, if they looked at you, if they talk to you, they don't sense the aggressiveness or the harshness in your talk, in your actions. Unfortunately, nowadays, we are living in a time where everyone is talking about himself or he is considering only himself. And that's his focus. But in Islam, we have to think of the Muslim community. That's what we mean by socializing. Don't think that socializing means every day you waste 2 hours, 3 hours on the phone, talking with people after you pray or whatever. Just like that, you are talking and wasting your time. That's not what we mean by socializing. But once you needed to interact, once people wanted to talk to you, they find you a friendly person. That's the meaning of socializing. Nowadays, even in small examples, like everyone is alone. He's taking his way. You notice that the father is busy with his work. The mother, whether she's at home or she has another work, everyone eats in different time, alone. The children, the same thing. If we asked for a project, please, we need a project, and the work should be collective work from many people. Everyone wants to do his own thing. Why? It is a problem. We don't have the patience or the, we are not accustomed to welcome others or to have them saying whatever they want or doing whatever they want. Imagine someone knocked on your door. You don't know him. And he said, I want to spend one day with you. I have no place to go. What will happen to you? You have hundreds of things to do in the morning, next day. But are these for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it is just our life that we are consuming ourselves too much with our life? It is a real problem. There are many examples where we don't have time to accommodate others. We don't have time to welcome others, to talk to them. In Islam, the Muslim is a friendly person. Remember what Ibn Hazm rahimahullah said? He said very nice statement, if you remember in the Akhlaq. And he said, make sure that you won't be described as dangerous person. What did he mean by dangerous person? That people fear interacting with you because they know that they won't get anything from you. You will beat them always. If there is a transaction, you will make profit and they won't. If it's in something else, they will not benefit. So make sure that you're not described this way. So that's what we mean by socializing. Prophet ﷺ, how did people interact with him? What was their feedback about the Messenger ﷺ? Didn't they like to see him always? Didn't they like to stay with him always? And try to compare yourself now. How can you do and how can you be like that? Are people bored whenever you exceed like the time you are given? Once you are not there, you are missed, or they are happy because you are not there? These things you should think of. The next thing about the Muslim is that he is sincere. You should be sincere in your actions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, you should be sincere also with your brothers. Now we mentioned that when you give an advice for your Muslim brother, you should be sincere. But what if you don't know him? Again, you have to be sincere. How you should be sincere to a one that you don't know? How can you do this? There are many examples. The Prophet ﷺ said in a very eloquent and concise hadith, الدين النصيحة. Religion is sincerity or sincere advice. الدين النصيحة. The Prophet ﷺ said that. He briefed the entire religion in two words. الدين النصيحة. When he was asked, to whom, O Messenger of Allah? نصيحة to whom? We should give advice to whom? The Prophet ﷺ said, to Allah, لله, ولكتابه, ولرسوله, ولأمة المسلمين وعامتهم. نصيحة to Allah, to His book, to His messenger, to the leaders of the Muslims, and to the generality of Muslims. But نصيحة, when we translate it to English, it's translated as advice. But that's not really the exact translation. نصيحة in Arabic is a broad term. It includes all the good, wishing all the good for the one that you are giving the advice to. That's the true meaning of nasiha. Therefore, we have some expressions in Arabic, like asal nasih, nasiha, and then nasih. Asal nasih, honey. Asal is the honey. We say asal. Asal nasih means purified honey. Purified honey means it's very, very pure, the best. So when we say it is in nasiha, means that you wish really all the good. It is pure. You don't have any personal gain out of this nasiha. So nasiha to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to His book, to His messenger, by following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, loving him, following his sunnah, believing in Allah, reading the Quran, all these things, we can discuss them in different places. Now we're talking about the last thing. You give nasiha to the leaders of the Muslims and to the generality of the Muslims. That's the true religion. So if you find someone telling you, I don't know him, so I don't care. Who is he? I don't know him, so I will not really focus on dealing with him in a good manner. Or I will not give him the best deal. Or I will not do the thing that he wants most. I will do whatever I want. Then that's not nasiha. Again, we're talking about people that we don't know. Still, that's their right, and that's our obligation towards them. We have to be sincere. We have to be sincere to them. Because when the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that you love for your brother what you love for yourself, whether you know him or you don't know him, in order to perfect your iman. So the same thing here. Also, when we say you are sincere, that means the Muslim does not cheat. He does not deceive. He does not stab in the back. Imagine yourself in a place you are just visiting for a couple of days, and you're coming back to a different place, and you know for sure that you won't go back to the place that you're visiting. So whatever you do, no one can come to you or reach you again. Do you say, Alhamdulillah, if I did whatever I want now, no one will come to me again. So let's cheat or let's do this. Let's take whatever I want. Then you are not sincere. You have to be sincere, whether they knew you or not, whether they were able to reach you or not. The Prophet ﷺ, in many ahadith, he taught us how to deal with people. One of these ahadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ حَمَلَ السِّلَاحَ عَلَيْنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا وَمَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Whoever bears arms against us is not one of us. And whoever cheats us is not one of us. Now regardless, you say, oh, but he cheated me. You don't do the same. If people did something wrong, you don't do the same thing. And we know the famous story when the Prophet ﷺ was walking in the market and he saw some grains and he put his hand in that basket and it was wet. So he told the man, what is this? And the man told him, it rained. On the top you see very nice quality, very nice things, but then in the bottom you don't know what is there. That is cheating. And how many people do this nowadays? We need to change. And we need to change in practice, not only by words, by saying. Look at this great hadith. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not hate one another. لا تباغضوا. And do not envy one another. ولا تحاسدوا. And do not turn your backs on one another. ولا تدابروا. Be slaves of Allah and brothers. وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. It is not allowed for a Muslim to avoid his brother for more than 3 days. لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث. We will discuss the first part of the hadith. Do not hate one another. What should I do? I don't like him. I just cannot deal with him. Prophet ﷺ is telling me, do not hate one another. That's it. Period. Do not hate one another. What do I do with my feelings? Yes, you have feelings. You may not be able to control them, but you can control your actions. At least, you deal with him as if you love him. One of the things that the Prophet ﷺ was great in is that he made everybody think that the Prophet ﷺ loved them most, more than anyone else. Everyone comes to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ gives them the same attention, the same love, to the limit that they think they are more beloved than anyone else. And that's why Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, in one time, he asked the Messenger ﷺ, who is the most beloved person to you? He asked him this because he thought that he is the one. Can we do this? It is difficult. Imagine yourself if you are able to do this. Do not hate one another. Do not envy one another. What's the definition of envy? What's the definition? Having what? That's close. Envy is wishing the removal of the blessing from others. That's the envy. You see someone got a car and you say, how did he get his car? You are upset because of that. Or someone is making that much money. You say, how he is making that much money? And you are saddened because of that. That is envy. And see how many times we do it. And we tend to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to question him, why this person got it and I did not get it? That is envy. The believer does not carry envy in his heart. Prophet ﷺ says, وَلَا تَحَاسَدُوا لَا تَبَاغَضُوا وَلَا تَحَاسَدُوا وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. And do not turn your backs on one another. Turning your back could be physically and could be rhetorical. Example, you turned his back, your back to him. Many times it could happen. Do not do it. Yes. Prophet ﷺ, even in sitting, when we sit, he taught us how to sit. That we sit in a circle. Why? So no one is giving his back to the other. Why is this? Because this is a way it may cause hatred. You may not think about it, but eventually it may cause some hard feelings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the sitting of people in paradise. Ikhwanan, brothers, ala sururin, mutaqabilin. They face each other. So they are not giving their backs to each other. See how this is great, even in paradise. Be, O slaves of Allah, brothers. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. Be brothers. How we become brothers? When we avoid those things. Avoiding hatred. Avoiding envy. Avoiding turning our backs to each other. In another narration, the same hadith is detailed. Do not envy one another. Do not defraud one another. Do not despise one another. Do not turn your backs on one another, and let none of you make an offer over the offer of his brother. Be slaves of Allah, brothers. Every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim. He does not oppress him, nor betray him, nor deceive him, nor despise him. Taqwa is right here, and the Prophet ﷺ pointed to his heart. It is sufficient evil for a Muslim to look down on his brother Muslim. Every Muslim is sacred to every other Muslim, his blood, his property, and his self-esteem. This should be written in every house. And you should remember this. This is like a covenant between the Muslim and all other Muslims. You will never see something like that in any civilized society. No matter how much they are advanced in technology, in other things, they will not reach this level. But Islam, alhamdulillah, we had these ethics of brotherhood. It needs just implementation. Do not envy one another. If you saw a person who got something and you were wishing for it, you say alhamdulillah, you pray for him. Actually, by this you are praying for yourself. Instead of saying, subhanallah, how he could get it? I have been trying hard and I did not get it, and he got it. That will create some... I'll give you a simple example here in our institute. When the students don't want to disclose their grades, oh, that will put more pressure. I got this and they did not get it. What is this? Why you are fearing? We should not be afraid of others. And we should not envy one another. We should encourage each other. And be happy if something good happened to my brother. Are you writing the full hadith? You have it. Another great hadith. Which is narrated by Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhuma. Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As, he said, we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, one of the people of paradise will now come to you. And the man of the Ansar came along. The next day, the Prophet ﷺ said the same thing. And the same man appeared. On the third day, the Prophet ﷺ again said the same thing. And the same man appeared again. For 3 days, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that a man of paradise will come to you. And the same man came. He gave the glad tidings of paradise for someone, and that was the same man. Abdullah ibn Amr al-As radiallahu anhuma, he was a smart man. He wanted to see how this person was able to get the glad tidings from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 3 days. And that's the right place where you can have hasad, the good hasad, the good envy, where you want to compete in doing good deeds. That's permissible, but not competing in dunya. He was a smart Abdullah ibn Amr al-As, so he wanted to see why this man got this prize, the glad tidings of paradise. He went to that man and he told him, I want to stay with you. I had a quarrel with my father and I want to stay with you. So the man allowed for him. Abdullah ibn Amr al-As radiallahu anhu, he wanted to observe what this man is doing, that he deserved the glad tidings from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First day, nothing, everything is regular. The next day, the same thing. Abdullah said, I did not notice anything that is really significant. The third day, the same thing. So Abdullah said, I should just go because I did not find something special. But he asked him, he said, you know, I wanted to stay with you because this is what the Prophet ﷺ said. And I wanted to see what you are doing. And I really did not see you doing anything much more than what I'm doing. So the man told him, actually, that's what I do usually. I don't do anything extra. So Abdullah left. Once Abdullah left, the man remembered. He told him, you know, but there is one thing that I do every day before I sleep. I don't carry anything in my heart against anyone of the Muslims. And Abdullah told him, that's the thing. Sometimes we carry things for years and years. Ya akhi, it happened like 7-8 years. Just remember when you were a child. If you have 2 children, one of them is younger, like 2 years. Now usually the older will beat the younger and he will take the things. But look at the younger. Does he come and tells him, look, you did this last day? They may be crying, but at the same time, they come again and play. Why? Because their hearts are pure. That's how the heart of the Muslim should be. Your heart should be pure. Oh, this man, he did something 2-3 years ago. Yahi, get over it. Forget it. It happened, and it happens, and it may happen. We are human beings. We should not carry these things because we expect from brothers to make mistakes, to do things wrong sometimes. But we should forgive and forget. Get over it. Imagine if you went to the masjid. You entered the masjid and you saw 5 people lined up. Everyone is watching you. Once you came, the first one came to you and he told you why you are coming at this time. And you told him, I want to pray. And he told you, you are late. Then the other man came and he said, don't pray here. You should pray there. Then the third man came and said, why you are wearing like this? Then the fourth, and everyone gave you something. What would you do? More likely, you will not come again to this masjid. Why? Because everyone is waiting for something wrong to happen to tell you don't do it. But imagine if you entered another masjid and you found five people, they are just welcoming you, telling you welcome and making you comfortable. That's how the Muslim should feel when he is amongst other Muslims, even if you don't know them. We need to do this. We need to practice it because it happened and we want it back again. Now we complain that this is happening here, this problem, because we still, our hearts are not really sincere enough or purified 100%. Another hadith, which is very important, the Prophet ﷺ said, faith and envy do not go together in the heart of the servant. لا يجتمع الحسد والإيمان في قلب عبد. You cannot, if you have a good container, you have a special, precious thing, you don't contaminate it, you don't put something spoiled in it. It doesn't work. So whether you have iman or you have hasad, or when you have hasad, it will take out the iman. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about how we treat each other? There are many ayat, and we will choose only few. Now it's your turn to find out other ayat from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ O you who believe, fulfill obligations. These obligations, whether it is to people you know, whether it is marriage contract, whether it is something that there were witnesses, or something there are no witnesses, something that no one knows except you and that person. Fulfill obligations. It is general to everyone. Imagine if you fulfilled every obligation, whether it was verbal, written. That's the true Muslim, the true believer. In another ayah, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَاهَدْتُمْ وَلَا تَنْقُضُ الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْكِيدِهَا And fulfill every engagement, for every engagement will be inquired on the day of reckoning. وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْؤُولًا وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْؤُولًا This is in Surah Al-Isra. And وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَاهَدْتُمْ This is in Surah An-Nahl. If you know you won't do it, just don't say it. This is for transactions or for our sayings, for promises, for everything. But there are other things also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ This is in Surah As-Saff. كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ All you who believe, why you say that which you don't do? And in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا Tell people that which is good. Talk that which is good. People, does it mean only the believers, Muslims, everyone, everyone. So if you should say the good word to everyone, By necessity, you should do this to Muslims. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts, to be true brothers to each other, and to be true believers, inshallah. We will stop here. And if there is any question from the students here or online, do we have any anyone online?
Yeah.
Okay. The hadith of Ibn Umar was, yes, there is a weakness in that hadith. Hadith of Ibn Umar, scholars talked about it. But again, this is the place where we implement it. Because in Fadail Amal, you can implement the hadith which are weak. But the weakness in that hadith is not strong. And some scholars actually, they consider it a good hadith. They say that Ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma lied. He did not lie actually. Because he quarreled with his father. But it was not that he came for. Because he was able, even after quarreling, he was able to stay. Anyway, yeah, that's true. This hadith, there is weakness in it. That's true.
Was it Ibn Umar?
Ibn Amr. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu. Any other questions? Okay, then we'll stop here, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.